Today's program was brought to you by VisitNapaValley.com, the official page for travel to the Napa Valley, America's legendary wine, food, arts, and wellness capital. For more information, visit www.visitnapavalley.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Oh, when you told me I should breathe out to go easy, it's just me now. Everything felt right, out of place. Never felt so far away. Fear that I'm living my predictions, that I'll have another vision, that something perfect could slip away. Quickly and without a trace, quickly and without a trace. These moments are young, you'll forget each one so fast. The feeling to run, all the classic ones don't last. No, you don't need your muscle memory. You don't need a wonder can we. You don't need a tense up or move away. Trust me, this is not the same. Is there room for what I'm saying? Is there room for me to weigh in? Is there any way for me to explain? This is momentary pain. This is momentary pain. These moments are young.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. That was just Laura and Greg, Muscle Memory, who will be playing live later in the studio. Very pretty Sunday song and very spring in my mind, which I'm hoping is what we are moving into. And after this week's, I'm going to say 10-hour snowstorm, I think we're already in New York to move on to warmer days. I want to say happy International Women's Day to all of our female listeners out there. We are big supporters here of women and food and all arts here just on the show and on Heritage Radio Network. And I want to welcome two of my favorite women in food, Carrie Diamond and Claudia Wu, back to the show, founders of Cherry Bomb and the Jubilee Conference. Welcome back.
Thanks, Darren. Good to be here.
Yes. Good to be here.
Wow. One of you sounds a whole lot more excited. Carrie, thank you for getting off the plane from Charleston, coming straight here. Love that festival down there.
It was great, the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. It was my first visit to Charleston and my first visit to the festival. And I don't know if this is everyone's experience, but the second you get to Charleston, you start thinking about how you can relocate to Charleston.
Yeah, it's one of those places where you go, New York. Especially during colder times.
Yeah, especially when you get off the plane and everyone's wearing shorts and preparing back here in New York for the, snowpocalypse.
It's one of those cities where you feel that you can get away being a little naughty. I don't know.
It does. It
like
has
a little
that,
more decadent and everyone's okay with it.
Right. It has that same feel as Savannah does.
Yes, it does. Those like wink and a nod, like Southern genteel, like everyone's sort of quarter tipsy all the time.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't know whether it has to do with all those little alleyways and hidden little pathways you can just get away with more, maybe.
Isn't that what life is always about? Spending with a little bit more than you should. Well, I wanted to have you back on because we had you on last year to announce the inaugural Jubilee Conference. And this year we are back with the second annual because it's official. It's going to be happening this year and every year until, I don't know, forever? Right?
It's very ambitious.
Forever is a long time.
Forever is a long time, yeah.
So before we talk about this year's programming, I know that last year was a preview. And for all those who didn't get to join, how did last year go, and what were the resonating effects of the Jubilee Conference?
Well, that's a big question.
if you talk about getting, easy reservations at the Spotted Pig, and that was the resonating effect.
We ran the conference, so we're kind of biased, obviously, but I think it went great, especially given how quickly we put it together last year. I mean, the whole thing really came together very quickly, but it just wound up being a really amazing emotional day, and I think everybody there just really responded to the programming and the speakers.
The food was great. I mean, everything just went really smoothly, shockingly, since none of us had done a conference before.
Shockingly. Everyone kept saying, who is your event planner? And we're like, what? And we do have to mention our third partner in Jubilee, Christina Knowlton.
Shout out.
Totally. We could not do the conference without Christina.
She's a pro. Yeah.
Is she the glue, the tape,
the duct tape, the everything? She's our everything.
What was the biggest takeaway for you personally, or the one that you took away from both maybe an event point of view or having that many women in the room who work in food that surprised even the people who were the biggest supporters of women in food?
I think it was the level of the... I think it was how personal the conversations got. I mean, one of the ones that I think everybody responded to was Christine Mulkey's panel with the chefs Suzanne Gowen and Gabrielle Hamilton. And it was all about how to have a family and actually have a job in this industry, or how to have a job and actually have a family, whichever way you want to come at it. And Christine actually brought her baby on stage, which was amazing and really illustrated sort of the struggle. I think one of the nicest things for me happened about a week ago. There's a chef in Asheville named Katie Button. Katie was having a baby, and she was saying she was sorry she couldn't come to Jubilee because she was about to give birth. And I was like, okay, that's a good reason. And I said, oh my God, I didn't even know you were pregnant. And she said, well, at Jubilee last year, it was really inspiring hearing people like Suzanne and Gabrielle, who I really look up to, talk about how they deal with everything. And she said that she realized there would never be a great time to figure it all out. And maybe there was no figuring it all out. And she just decided then that she wanted to start a family. And I was like, wow,
a baby came out of Jubilee.
Wow. I mean,
it doesn't get better than that.
I believe that the baby should be named Jubilee then. That's a good name for a baby, a female strong, if it's a girl.
Especially Southern.
Southern? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Jubilee's a cute name for a baby, sure.
And what about the press? Because I know that it was in partial response to the whole clusterfuck that was the Time article of the gods of food. I can say that word on the air because it was a totally... I don't even know how... After, knowing what I do now about, like, editorial and things getting through, like, how did at no point anyone say... Do we want to reconsider and not having any females? But regardless of that, you standing on your own, what did the press say? What was that effect?
The press was really positive. We got a lot of nice press after it, which we were really grateful for. I think one of the bigger things was social media. People were really struck by how much the Jubilee Conference just kind of owned Twitter that day. And I think that just goes back to, we had a lot of great speakers who had a lot of great things to say, and people really responded to the advice people were giving.
Yeah, everyone was really enthusiastic, which surprised me. I don't know.
Because Claudia is so enthusiastic.
Yes.
I know, from her saying hello at the beginning of the show. So how quickly after you gave birth to your first conference did you decide, we're going to have another child together?
Oh, I don't think it was ever a question, really.
Yeah, I think we knew. I mean, there was one point where I was like, should we do this? Where I was thinking to myself, I don't think I said this out loud, should we do this every 2 years? But, you know, there's a purpose behind Jubilee. And it's really to bring everybody together and to have these conversations and to encourage networking. And I think it's good to have it once a year. I think it's really good to bring these people together. And I think we can really look back. I was thinking about this yesterday, because they had an event at the Charleston Wine and Food Festival called the Southern Betty Brunch. And it was a bunch of the chefs we really love. And they did an event together. And I assumed that this was an event that had been taking place for years because the conference was 10 years old. And this was the very first of its kind. And I think it's been a good 12 months for looking back and seeing all these different things where, whether it's festivals or magazines or whatnot, are shining light for the first time on women in food and really letting them kind of get their due and have their day.
Do you think there gets to a point where, obviously, there's still a large equality gap to maybe close and just consideration or respect, even though for a lot of people in industry, or at least that I know, have a lot of respect for the women who work in food. Do you think they'll get to a point where you've met that equality gap and you won't need these types of conferences and it's just going to be chefs in the room and it's going to be equally split?
Yeah, I think about that a lot, actually. And it's good that we're having this conversation on International Women's Day, because I really don't think you can separate necessarily what we're doing with what's going on in the world at large. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think, do we need Cherry Bomb anymore? Do we need Jubilee or things like this going to get tired? Or is it just going to become like a trend to do a thing with all women?
Like, yeah, well, we're doing the woman thing. You have your own one part of the whole festival. Like, you know, that's what you don't want to have happen.
Right. I mean, that does happen.
Right.
But I do think because some people have even said that to me, like, oh, does it need to be all women anymore? Blah, blah. But I think when you look at what's going on in the world, not to be a total downer, but, you know, women being attacked and killed and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a coincidence that there are all these documentaries out right now that talk about rape and what's happened in India and what's happening on college campuses. And I think people have to realize it's all connected, how women are treated and looked upon and viewed and all these things. It's all connected. So I think there's still a great need for things like Jubilee and things like Cherry Bomb and related things like that.
But is your hope that one day down the road, it's all going to be equal?
Sure, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we can still do Cherry Bomb.
No, of course. But, I mean, hopefully it's not just, you know, my roommate's a comedy writer, and she always talks about being, like, dubbed, like, a lady writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, isn't it nice just to be, like, a writer? She's like, yeah, but, you know, it's the way it is right now. It's just, it's another industry where, you know, female comedy writers, there aren't a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sometimes it works for fans. We're like, we need to add another woman to the staff for diversity. But at some point she's like, I would love just to be straight comedy writer.
Right. I think the funny thing in food is that there are so many women. There's just been there's sort of this outsized focus on women having to be the chef. And I think if you step back for a minute, there are so many women. I mean, Laura's a woman in food. She also happens to be the singer in her band. But, you know, there's so many women doing interesting things, but the media loves to focus on the chef. And one thing we're definitely trying to do at Cherry Bomb is shine the spotlight on all the different women in this industry. You don't have to be the chef to be making a contribution and an impact on this industry.
Laura, as a founder of Van Loon Ice Cream, and how do you feel about being a woman of food? I mean, because you have hands down one of the most, if not the most successful artisanal ice cream businesses in the country. Have you felt that being a woman or anything like that has been a big part of it? And have you found yourself as a symbol for other women trying to get into food?
Yeah, I feel like I've received like a good amount of attention for being a woman in the company. I have two male partners, and I feel like sometimes the spotlight is shone on sort of them as brothers, or but often like people will try and kind of turn the spotlight onto me as a woman in the industry because there doesn't appear to be as many. But from my experience, I mean, we have a restaurant as well, and our first chef was a woman. We're onto our third chef now. They've both been men, but our head of production is a woman. So, you know, I find there's definitely like a lot of women in the industry surrounding me.
And I find most of the women in the industry, they're more, maybe it's because they have to be the ball busters and the like, you know, take no shit from anybody, but they're the toughest people that I know.
I don't know if I agree with that across the board, but
okay.
I feel like I often have to play bad cop in the trio.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you find, and we'll take a quick musical break and talk about the company, but do you find in social media that maybe they're drawn to the male chefs because they play up that like gregarious, international, boozy, like decadent type of lifestyle that's accepted from the male community, where that you don't see a lot of like, you know, there's no female Chang going out with James Murphy and Aziz Ansari to these like, you know, Japanese trips where they're eating and Peter Mann's writing about it. Do you think that if there's more female figures like that, they would start getting more equal because it's more of just there's a story there, or just do you find that women shouldn't be going down that route or don't have to or don't want to?
I think you should follow your own path and, you know, just do what comes naturally to you. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. Claudia?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, yes, like... Yeah, like, I think in recent years, it's kind of been, like, the bad boy chef gets all the attention. I don't know. Maybe women are just not as attention-seeking as guys are. Who knows?
Fair enough. All right, well, we're going to take a musical break. Then we're going to talk about Jubilee number 2, which is going to be super awesome. And the lineup's even... I mean, last year was awesome. This is awesome.
Equally awesome.
Equally awesome. Maybe awesomer. Because I feel like last time was just like, we got to get it done.
Right.
And this year is just, I don't know, it's all awesome. I'm just super excited. this is a shout out to my bro who's recovering from the flu. Hope he gets better soon. This is one of our favorite bands from back in the early aughts. It's Denali U-File here on Snacky Tunes.
And all this time I wait for you, a staple down my heart, won't somebody please undo this dream? I'll believe you when the lights come on and the army starts to fight the incoming. Sam, you'll be much easier to capture. Sam, you'll be much easier.
that takes me back to being in love with girls who didn't even know I existed.
Aww.
It's fine. I mean, that's...
We love you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. So we have Claudia and Carrie.
That was such a Claudia response.
Yeah. They're very flat. We love you. No. I mean, I love you like a friend. Oh, okay. Well, we're here to talk about the now annual second iteration of Jubilee, which, if the show's any success, first off, you sold out the first one, so mazel tov, because that's 1,000 tickets.
It wasn't 1,000 tickets.
Wasn't it 1,000 tickets?
No.
How many tickets was the first one?
Like 300 tickets.
So like 1,000 tickets? Just that's, come on, you know, look at the pictures. It looked like 1,000
people. So it did look like 1,000 people.
And you sold out. It took 6 weeks of the first one, which is insane to sell out anything of that value. And on a Sunday, in the springtime, no less. This year, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's 4,000 people this year. How many people did this
Madison
year?
Madison Square Garden.
It's the same venue. So.
Standing room. Oh, I love that place.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. It used to be an Episcopal seminary.
It still is. They still eat lunch there every day.
They do?
Yes.
And how many women are part of the seminary?
I don't know. How many people are part of the seminary? I have absolutely no idea.
So this year, I'm super excited about the lineup. A lot of the heavy hitters from last year, but some new people. But why don't you talk about what worked for you last year and what you're bringing back and what's new that you're so excited about that you saw as just like people who felt that they couldn't do it last year or saw the success and are now getting on the Jubilee train. I'm sorry, Jubilee Express.
People keep asking us what's different about this year's, and I keep saying nothing. It's exactly the same. We did talk about...
It's a little different.
How do you think?
I mean, the programming is the same. We kind of are keeping to the same like format. There are panels. There's some non-food people speaking. And last year, after the Jubilee, my friend Nick Jamé from Sweet Green told me, I thought guys weren't allowed, so I didn't come. And then he said, next year we're going to do your lunch. So Sweet Green's going to do our lunches.
Shout out to Sweet Green. Yeah.
That's been a pretty funny thing. We had a lot of guys, I think including you, tell us they didn't buy tickets because they weren't allowed to buy tickets.
I literally thought that I couldn't buy tickets.
You're insane.
And then this year I was on the road and I missed buying tickets and then it sold out.
There were about five lucky men in the audience. It's a really good place for guys.
I think it was like Matt Rodbard, Ken Friedman.
Ken Friedman, Phil Baltz, yeah. And it was very funny because people kept taking pictures of the five guys like they were zoo animals or something. Saw these Instagram pictures with the five of them. But I haven't looked at the attendee list. I don't know if any guys bought tickets this year.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll find out.
Ken Friedman told me he's coming again.
Ken Friedman rides
again. He doesn't have to buy a ticket, though.
No.
He gets to come as April's plus one.
Plus one. Mm-hmm. You can be my plus one this time, Ken. So what are some of the panels that you're excited about? Who are you excited about talking this year?
Well, I think everybody's excited about Ina Garten.
So glad.
I mean, everybody. I love Ina. I know everybody in the Cherry Bomb kind of universe loves Ina. But I am constantly just surprised by people's level of obsession with Ina Garten.
People freak out over her.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I tell that story?
Yeah.
It's
a good story.
Ina's in the current issue of Cherry Bomb.
Yeah, magazine.
Maybe the last issue. She's in the current issue of Cherry Bomb, and we drove out to her place in East Hampton, almost died on the way there. We rented a car, and something stopped working in the car, and it started swerving all over the highway. So, we're lucky we're here, Claudia. So anyway, we drove out to East Hampton to interview her and photograph her. And we got there, and these three women just like showed up at her house just to say hi to her. And I think people just feel this connection with Ina. Like they know her, and she's the next door neighbor, and they can just drop by.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But she was great. We were all super thrilled to meet her. So she's speaking. Julia Tertian, who's a pal of all of ours, is interviewing her, which we're really excited about. And I know people are just super excited about the Ina.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then April's closing the conference. So
God, I love April.
April, and we haven't shared this with anybody, but Gail Simmons is interviewing April.
Is that a Snacky Tune exclusive?
It's a Snacky Tunes exclusive.
Liz, I know you love those.
Do you guys have like a little sound effect you can play with?
We
you...
had a sound effect board, but they took it away from us because we just kept playing the Wildcat sound every time. There it is. So you didn't throw it out. All right. That's amazing. Gail is, oh my God.
Gail's the bomb.
If I was a little bit older and she's a little bit younger and she even knew I existed, it's like high school over again. Hi, Gail. No,
Darren, I love you, but I just want to be friends.
That's what she said to me the first time we met.
No, that is going to be great. I'm really curious to hear what April has to say. She's such a success story. She's also, I think, an example of somebody who's just super nice and super talented and gets ahead by virtue of that.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely one of the icons, not just, and I'm not even going to say female chef icon. I mean, mm-hmm. She is, anyone would be lucky to have her affinity for food, her success, and her just, I mean, she's so nice.
So nice.
She's so nice. Mm-hmm. And she's just like always just, she's just such a presence. Like when you see her walk in or in a room where you just see her like with a knife in hand, taking a pig to town. Well, not, I mean, delicious town.
I haven't seen that in person, but it's kind of like Alice Waters in that sense.
Oh my God.
I feel like they're just people in this industry who have presence and gravitas and deserve your respect.
It's just so crazy to think about like the Alice Waters and Julia Childs and things like that. Like how many women have been who really put food on the map in such a public mainstream way that like how that's just not even, I'm not saying not recognized, but how there's still a gap when like so much of the, like the people who had made food a conversation for many Americans who've never talked about food or thought about food, how there's just still this like gap.
Did we tell you Alice showed up last year halfway through unannounced?
Was there a hush?
There was a major hush. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
At the end of the conference, Ruth Reichel was the closing speaker last year, and at one point April was in the back of the room the whole time with Ken Friedman. And
I mean, Alice was in the back. Alice was in the back.
Alice was in the back. What did I say? Alice was in the back with Ken Friedman. And at one point Ruth Reichel says, "Is Alice Waters still here?" And most of the people in the room didn't know she was there, and the whole entire room swiveled their heads around. And I was in the back, and that was an exciting moment.
That's awesome. Is she gonna have any part to do with the conference this year?
She might.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
I'm staying tuned. God, she's great. Chez Panisse is one of those places where you walk in and you go like, oh yeah, this is amazing. You just feel it, like it's baked into the walls. Mm-hmm. What other panels are you excited about? What's a new panel this year? Maybe something that you didn't get to last year that you are now tackling this year.
I'm excited about the way we eat today. We're having a panel of it's like that question, like what's good for you today? There are so many different ideas of what we should be eating and how we should be eating. And we have a great panel that kind of mixes like politics and like health and like,
That I'm excited for that one too. It'll look at things like and it's all bloggers, which is great.
Awesome.
Because there are so many amazing bloggers today. And bloggers kind of get a bad rap in the, like, a certain side of the food world kind of looks down on bloggers, which I don't understand.
I don't understand either. They're getting all the book deals.
I think there's some I think there's a few rotten apples. Mm-hmm. That's any industry.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, that's, there's a few bad chefs out there.
Exactly.
You know, the people who, like, jump ship or don't show up or just have done no cooking and get all the fame. I mean, it's just like anything.
Yeah.
But I believe that, you know, the internet and that type of media format allows for some really unique voices that would have no other way to get their voices heard, and allows them to champion other smaller things that would not allow them to get their voices heard because they're trying to find that new story.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting.
I think there's a real grassroots moment afoot with bloggers, and they're the ones who, more than the media, I think, that are pushing this sort of healthy eating and food as medicine. And, I've learned that a lot in my day job at Yahoo Food. We do a lot with bloggers there. And I'm really inspired by them. I'm really happy to have them there. And
I mean, we took our mom to Danielle, and she was like, I can't cook like this at home, you know? But if she would go to on, like, these blogs, she'd be like, oh, I can do this, you know? It's just much more
Most people realistic. Couldn't cook like Danielle at a restaurant either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Lucky mom.
Oh, yeah. It was like an anniversary or something.
Oh, my gosh.
My brother's the real foodie in the family.
Wow.
Yeah. We go to fancy places with him.
Can I hang out with your brother?
Oh, sure. Sure. He's single.
And he's cute.
Okay. Well, I'll let the ladies at work know. Is he a nice guy?
Yeah, he's totally nice.
Okay.
Well, why would you ask his sister that question?
He's not gay, though. I was just joking. That was a joke. Sorry, Alex.
No, it's fine. But I know a lot of, I work with a lot of very,
oh yeah, you
great,
do,
powerful, strong women.
Oh, that's right,
women
at Refinery 29,
who,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Would love a nice, well-rounded, modern man. And shout out to Electra, who's our new food editor at large.
We love, yes, Electra.
Who is speaking at the conference, and mm-hmm, she's going to be on the show in a few weeks.
Oh, great.
And she is a strong female voice.
Strong female voice. She's been in our magazine. She was one of our first contributors, I think. Mm-hmm. We love her. We've done a lot with her.
Oh my God, she's amazing. Well, I want to just thank every. I just want to thank you for coming, and I want to say sorry to everyone who didn't get a ticket because it is sold out. But I know that you did give a few tickets away. Will you be giving any more tickets away?
To you.
Okay. Well, I'll come in the morning.
No, I'm kidding. You still have to buy a ticket.
Maybe I'll come in. I'll support Liz, the
You
engineer.
Can volunteer. We do need somebody to move the chairs on stage. So
well, then, you know,
you want to do that.
Once a PA, always a PA. Okay. I'd be more than happy to do that.
We do have a waiting list. We expect to free up a few tickets closer toward the date.
So where can people go? Because, I mean, this is what happens. You're going to be on your phone on Sunday, and everyone you follow on food, mm-hmm, who's one of the, like, an awesome female on food, you're just going to be like, they're there, they're there, they're there. And you're going to be sitting at home being like, damn it, I should have bought tickets.
People can email us at jubilee@cherrybomb.com.
Well, ladies, it's super awesome. And when's the next issue of Cherry Bomb coming out? Yeah. I'm just
Don't
kidding.
Even ask.
I'm just kidding. What do you have, like a conference going? What else you got going on? I'm always
This year it'll be out.
This year. 2015, get ready. Well, ladies, I always, always appreciate when you make time for us to come on the show and for when you get back to my emails and all that type of stuff as well. And Claudia's just enthusiasm. It's just
I texted you, though. I did text you.
You did.
I've taken our relationship to the next level.
You did. Whoa. She got my digits. Sorry, Rob. It's totally platonic.
I love you, but as a friend.
As a friend. Oh, my God. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I would probably like $4, because for me to even get the nerve to ask a girl out, I'm now thinking about all the girls I asked out who, like, took me months to get the courage, and it was over in, like, 30 seconds.
Aww.
It's okay. I have a wonderful woman now. She's incredible. You would love her. Her name's Anna.
Great.
Anyway. Well, thank you. Stick around. There's some more pizza, some salads.
We'll see you in March 2016.
Yes, absolutely. We have Laura and Greg coming up live next, but this next song is a new track that I heard on KEXP. Shout out to John in the Morning, because he is really where I'm taking literally all my new music cues from. This is The Doe or The Do. It's a D-O, but it's got like some sort of line through it. I don't know. It's called Sparks here on Snacky Tunes. We'll be right back. Man, I love that song. It's off the album Shake Shook Shaken, which I think is a very clever name. One thing I want to note about the Jubilee Conference, and a shout out to Heritage Radio Network, is that we will be recording the entire conference, and it will be available at a later date after the conference itself here on Heritage Radio Network. I know Liz, our producer, will be out there recording it for the day. To the studio, we've already welcomed them, but an official welcome, Lauren and Greg.
Hello.
Hello.
Interesting band name. Where did you get it from?
That's a great question, first of all. We just started playing open mics at first.
Shout them out. Where?
The first one was at a place, it was called Potion, but it was at Brooklyn Fireproof.
Okay.
That was our first ever open mic.
But I think they've since moved. I don't think they do it there. Or even, I don't know if they still do it at all.
It was kind of like the fortune teller in Big. Like, it was there, and then we went back again, and it wasn't there anymore.
That's such a good reference.
Greg used to just sign us off as Laura and Greg, and then open mics pretty quickly turned into real gigs, and it just felt a little strange to kind of come up with a name, so we just stuck with Laura and Greg.
What's the modern open mic scene in New York and Brooklyn?
It's peculiar.
Is there a circuit? Like, do you see the same faces?
Yeah, you do. There was, I guess Goodbye Blue Monday is closed now, sadly. But we did that one as well, and we definitely saw some of the same faces that you see down at Sidewalk in Alphabet City, which is a real institution for open mics.
Now, do people, like, play there until they start getting real gigs, or...?
I think, like, there's some people who are just looking to kind of have a place, like, an outlet for music, but not necessarily trying to be too career-driven about it.
It's also a great place just to try new things before you, like, book a show or something.
Oh, that's cool.
It's usually a very, like, supportive audience as well, which is nice.
Yeah, because half the audience is, like, the musicians anyway.
Yeah, and it'll be, like, a healthy mix of people who have got it really down and then people who are, like, stopping halfway through to grab a notebook out of their backpack to check their lyrics.
Is it, like, a comedy show where everyone's wanting, like, a big name shows up?
Most stand up or most open mics do have, like, they let stand ups do it, but I don't know. We didn't do too many because we got asked to play a show pretty
after, like, our second or second open mic, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
So, how'd it come together, Greg? Were you buying ice cream and you heard her humming and you're like, I got a guitar?
Well,
it was over ice cream, actually.
It was over ice cream, because the first ice cream store was right next to the Manhattan Inn.
Oh, yeah.
And that you guys just moved.
Yeah, we just moved six doors down.
Right.
Which is twice as good as the band three doors down.
Exactly.
And I was just hanging out with some friends at the Manhattan Inn, and Laura found out that I was vegan, and she said that she had some new vegan ice cream, because it was relatively new at the time, I think. It was like a year and a half ago, right?
It was like we just started doing chocolate and vanilla, and I was pretty excited whenever I'd come across a vegan, so I, like, dragged him into the store and got him to try it, and we got to talking about music and made a very loose plan to jam, and
Greg actually followed through.
Yeah, Greg's really good at...
That's sort of how a lot of the plans happen. It's like the actual follow-through.
Right.
Right.
It's like once the initial follow-through happens, you go... Oh, this is how stuff gets done. Because so many times you're like, we're going to do this thing. And then it's just like, oh, we're still going to do this thing. It's like, we never did that thing.
Yeah.
There was actually another Greg in the mix that night. There was two Gregs and a Laura. And this Greg is still Greg number two in my phone, even though he's definitely Greg number one. And but Greg number one, who is now Greg number two, never showed up for band practice. So
Laura and the Gregs is pretty good.
That's not bad. Yeah.
It's not bad.
If he wants to come to practice, there's still a spot for him.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Yeah. Why don't we hear a song?
Sure.
Cool. What are you gonna play for us?
Let's play Same World.
Sure.
Okay, here's Laura and Greg, Same World live on Snacky Tunes.
Took a breath from the same world. We saw all the same summer skies. We
took a breath from the same world and got lost in the wonderful times. I stood in front of my old home. I searched my mind for tired advice. The death from the ground grow. I let it all go. I don't have much, but I have enough. So don't feel so crushed. You still have love.
So pretty.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, do you guys write over ice cream? Do you get over for like a big sundae and be like, all right, for every song that you write, you get an extra scoop of ice cream that I like?
I think that's how
that's
it started.
That's the reward system, yeah. We make vegan ice cream, as we were talking about before, which is probably much better for the voice than the dairy. So.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So how do you write? I mean, is it, you know, I mean, two people is a whole different dynamic, but there, I mean, there's a larger band, right?
Yeah, we often play with two others.
Our recording, we recorded a full length, and it's a lot kind of fuller sounding, and we try to kind of recreate that as much as possible. We can do a pretty good job between the two of us. We have kind of a simple setup right now in here, but live we have a little bit more, and we have two friends that, when they're available, definitely play with us, and it fills it out a whole lot.
And one of them, Brandon, actually produced the album, so he has...
And recorded it.
Yeah, so he has such a good understanding of how the songs should sound live, which is awesome. But in terms of writing, some of the material is kind of been... Greg's been kicking it around for a while, and then when we got together, we kind of worked out parts for it, and then some of the stuff we write together... and Greg is like an extremely prolific writer, so he's just writing all the time.
Yeah, each song kind of comes about differently. So,
and is it lyrics first and song then music, or music and lyrics, or is it like a combo of just like?
It's usually like very separate. So we'll have like just kind of random lyrics or thoughts written out that aren't really for anything in particular. And just kind of come up with melodies without really having anything in mind, and then kind of flip through some old notebooks and see what fits. that's typically the best route, I think, for us.
Yeah, and then I have about 5 chords under my belt, so
nice.
Sometimes I'll like string.
Hey, that's
string
that's
together
more
something.
Than most people.
That's true.
So sometimes I'll like kind of mess around and I'll be like, oh, this isn't a song, right? And Greg's like, yeah, that can be a song.
That
and
can be a song.
Yeah.
I've noticed that most of your songs are the same 5 chords. Can you talk about that?
We actually have one song. Wait, do we have one song that has, is it like 15 or 20 or something?
I don't know. It's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah.
That's up there.
And then we have some really simple stuff. But
yeah.
So you guys have been together about a year and a half?
Yeah. It's probably, yeah, that's about right.
So what's, and since you got to start playing shows right away, what has been some of the better shows or memorable cool experiences as a band? Any good meals that you shared together?
Well, we got to play at Glasslands a bunch, actually, which we're really grateful for because obviously it's one of the fallen heroes of Williamsburg.
Yeah. Such a fall. That whole area. The yeah. South Side used to be like, I'm just going to see music there.
Totally. So, I mean, I'm like relatively new to music. I mean, I've always sung, but this is my first like proper music project. And so I just like feel really grateful that I got a chance to play at a spot like Glasslands.
Yeah, cause so many great, you get to see so many great bands there, or you were able to when it was open. And
yeah.
It's just awesome to be part of it in any way.
Our third show ever, a friend of Greg's from Seattle plays in a band called The Flavor Blue, and they had an issue with their opening act at Mercury Lounge, and he just called Greg up and was like, I don't know what project you're doing at the moment, but I'm sure it's awesome, so do you want to open for us at Mercury Lounge? And that was like our third
show. Yeah.
And we were like, wait, sound check? Wait, monitors where we can hear ourselves? This is amazing.
What is this?
Yeah.
But in contrast to that, like the there was a place called the Brooklyn Rod and Gun. Have you ever been to that place?
Oh my God, that place is so great.
Yeah, also closed. But super,
what?
Yeah, it's gone.
It closed in December, just with all the other ones.
I did not.
I think like everything on Kent is kind of going down.
I'm pretty sure Brooklyn Rod and Gun are going to try and open up somewhere else. But
every time I walked by, I was just like, I guess I didn't get the invite to the coolest party happening tonight.
But yeah, it's super cool,
awesome.
Super small, really a good vibe. Always a good crowd.
Always a good crowd. A diverse crowd. I feel like that was definitely like an old school Williamsburg crowd. Like I forgot that like artsy sort of bohemian vibe.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. They had a pretty great beer list. like if you go in and say, what kind of beer do you have? They just had like 2 pieces of cardboard taped together as if it was a menu, and you open it and it just like a Tecate label and like a Budweiser label,
like,
and
cut off the slab box.
Yeah, and just like duct tape to the cardboard. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a special place. Yeah.
That's a real special place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play a song?
Yeah,
something reminiscent of Williamsburg gone by.
Yeah, we'll do Forever for Sure.
Yeah, this is Forever for Sure. It's the title track of our record that's going to be out May 12 on digital and vinyl.
That's right.
Awesome. Here we go, live on Snacky Tunes.
I am broken, I am hollow, oh, I'll leave the world I know. Let me fall from the place I stand. Keep it simple, tell them nothing's new. After all, it's true. Let the sound of your voice be plain. You are still young and you still have time. These words destroyed my mind into thinking that I'm okay. I have nothing, it is only me. It makes me sound so free. But I'm lost in a place I know. I am me no more. I'm gone forever for sure. For sure. What a feeling it is too. Oh, to hate what you've allowed. Allowed the world to see of you. Now you know where to be found. Ooh. Ooh. Let your chest sink, let your eyes sink too. Let the world pass through till you find what you can't let go. Let the streets die, let the rest go home. Let me be alone with the songs that I just can't sing. I am sorry, this is so not me. I know how it must seem when you can't even fake a smile. And if it's over, I am not aware. I struggle and I stare, and I talk to myself all night. I am me no more. I'm gone forever, for sure. For sure. What a feeling it is too. Oh, to hate what you allow. Allow the world to see of you. Now you know where to be found. I'm sorry that you had to be from a place that I could leave. I could leave so easily. What a feeling it is too. Oh, to hate what you allow. Allow the world to see of you. Now you know where to be found. Ooh. Ooh.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
A little bittersweet, little tenderness in there in that one.
A little bit.
A little bit. So the new album's coming out.
Yes.
First album.
Mm-hmm.
How is your first child looking?
Oh, it's looking good. It's we sort of had it finished for a while, and we were desperately trying to jump the gun and put it out in around Christmas, and then we had someone kind of contact us and was like, "That's a terrible idea. It's gonna get lost. Like, this album is good, and you guys should try and give it as good an opportunity as possible." So we've chilled out a little and decided to kind of like do a little more promo and then release it in May when everyone's feeling
a little bit
happier
more
about the weather, etc. So that we can depress them with our songs.
I don't consider music depressing.
It's got like the sound is happy.
But the lyrics?
I guess
depends how you look at it, yeah.
We have like this like barometer to, did we have a good show? Did one of our friends tell us that they cried?
Yeah.
Common occurrence.
Do people normally cry at your shows?
Usually at least Greg's sister will cry.
Yeah, I think at first people were crying a lot.
Just people weeping.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself crying over your own songs? Like, you wrote a lyric and you're like, damn, that's good.
Tears of joy for like a nice melody, perhaps.
Yeah. So the album's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Tour?
Mini tour. We're heading down to Austin to play a bunch of unofficial showcases during South By.
I will be there. Well, I'll be there for Interactive.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is that before or after?
Yeah,
it's
before.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I went to South By few years ago, actually. I'm pretty sure I saw your brother down there in the Fader Fort or something.
That sounds... Oh, Greg Bresnan's at the Fader Fort?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds 100% right.
Yeah. And
was he wearing a sleeveless tank top?
Possibly.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
So we decided... Well, actually, we have a friend down there who was like, I think I can get you booked on this showcase. And then like one showcase became three, and we were like, that's good enough reason to jump in the car and drive to Austin.
Not the ice cream van?
No, not the ice cream van. We're going to borrow Greg's parents' car. It's a much more suitable vehicle. So we're going to drive down there, play a few shows. We're going to try and stop through Nashville on the way and Raleigh
on
the way back.
Yeah,
nice.
And then I guess once, because that's before the album comes out. Once the album comes out, we'll hopefully have some more stuff lined up through the summer. Summer seems like a good time to drive around and play some music.
We also just like doing like little like kind of weekend tours. Last winter we went to like Lowell, Massachusetts and played this like house show, which we walked in and there was like sort of five kids, and I was like, oh geez, Greg, what have you booked us for? Like, why did we drive here in the snow for this? And then like it clocks over to like 10 o'clock and like all these college kids flood in, and they're like the best audience ever. They're just so like grateful for like people kind of bringing music into their living room.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually really awesome just to kind of play like little shows, like in and around and outside of New York.
Wherever people are down to listen to music is good.
We're going to be going up to Toronto for Canadian Music Week in May, which we did last year as well.
So awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if Australia would ever fly you back as like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know. That would be cool. There's so many good...
So
many good festivals.
Especially during
the
winter time.
Yeah. There's one actually just this past weekend with Golden Plains, which is like when I see the Instagrams of my friends at those kind of festivals, it aches my heart a little.
Nice.
Well, listen, I want to make sure we get one more song in.
Mm-hmm.
But where can people go to hear your music? Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, Bandcamp's a little dormant at the moment. We have Muscle Memory, which is the first single from the album, up on SoundCloud. And yeah, as of May 12, we'll have everything out. We've got a video coming out shortly, which is a rotoscoped animation that Greg made.
Awesome.
And yeah, so it's...
Yeah, we're on the internet.
How's your Instagram game?
We have like... a few followers. I'm like trying to set all that stuff up, but the personal Instagram game is good, but for the band we don't have that much content happening yet,
but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah
Get some photos on the road.
Yeah, we're on Twitter and Instagram. It's Laura Greg Music.
Get some photos from the car on the way down to South By.
Definitely.
That's right.
Well, I want to shout out to Carrie and Claudia. Happy International Women's Day. Shout out to Liz and Aaron and all the women of Heritage Radio Network. Shout out to my mom. Shout out to my girl, Anna. Shout out to all the amazing women that I work with at Refinery 29. And all of our fearless leaders, Anna, Melissa, Christine, Piera, Susan. You're all amazing women. Couldn't do it without you. Oh, and the design department, Emily, Anne. And now, so too many women that I love and respect to mention in one show. We will be off next week because we will be traipsing around the wonderful town of Austin. If you have time, I'll be hosting a panel at the Driscoll at 5 p.m. on Saturday with Paul Key and Questlove talking about culinary inspiration. So it's called Life's a parentheses dinner party. Super pumped about it. I'll be drinking queso martinis the entire time. Laura Greg, what's the last song you're going to take us out with?
Yeah, the song's called Muscle Memory. It's the first one we released off of the new album.
Beautiful. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And enjoy the warm weather. Say no to snow.
Oh, when you told me I should breathe out to go easy, it's just me now. Everything fell right out of place. I never felt so far away. Fear that I'm living my predictions, that I'll have another vision, that something perfect could slip away. Quickly and without a trace, quickly and without a trace. These moments are young, you'll forget each one so fast. The feeling to run, all the classic ones don't last. No, you don't need your muscle memory. You don't need a wonder, can we? You don't need a tense up or move away. Trust me, this is not the same. Is there room for what I'm saying? Is there room for me to weigh in? Is there any way for me to explain? This is momentary pain. This is momentary pain. These moments are young, you forget each one so fast. The feeling to run, all the classic ones don't last. There's nothing to see. Times everything's just the way you like. So please, please, please don't ever pull from me. It hurts so much to hear the way your voice changed. And please, please, please don't ever let me be the one who put a quiver in what you say. The one who makes you think about the first day. The one who takes a smile off of your face. These moments are young, you forget each one so fast. The feeling to run, all the classic ones don't last. There's nothing to see, you can look around 100 times. Everything's just the way you like.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.